Welcome to Pieces for My Puzzle. I'm your host, Nikki Shipp, and I'm excited to be sharing with you my life with a son on the spectrum. This podcast is for anyone who is looking for quick tips and perspective, but most of all, for hope and inspiration. So sit back, relax, and let's put the pieces together. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Pieces for My Puzzle. I'm your host, Nikki Shipp. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope everyone is starting the new year off with a bang. Happy 2024 to all of you. And we have a lot of exciting things happening this year with the podcast, so I'm very excited to be launching some new and exciting things, which I'll announce in upcoming episodes coming up here for 2024. This week, we're going to talk about autism and humor, and I wanted to talk about this topic because Drayson, his sense of humor is very different than most, and I think that that's hard sometimes for people to understand or intake, and it's definitely helped me to figure out ways to also connect with Drayson. But what we think is funny sometimes as a family, Drayson does not, and it can also be a little upsetting for him. So I kind of wanted to explain a little bit about autism and humor. And a lot of people ask me if Drayson does have a sense of humor, and he does. And I think for the most part, everybody has a sense of humor, right? But people on the autism see the world differently. So Drayson definitely shows humor in different ways. He randomly laughs sometimes, so I often wonder what's going on in that brilliant mind of his. But I do try to remember that his intake is much different. And so that's something to keep in mind when you're talking to somebody on the spectrum. Their sense of humor might come off a little bit differently as opposed to ours. People with autism do find things funny. However, their humor, we may not always understand. And that doesn't mean that one way is better than the other, per se, but people with autism are as funny as neurotypical people, but they may at times display humor a little unconventionally. Some may struggle with picking up on subtle cues or nonverbal signals when it comes to humor and sarcasm, and this is definitely a category that Drayson falls into. He doesn't necessarily understand sarcasm just yet. He's very literal, so when we get sarcastic sometimes in the household, he oftentimes tells me that I'm being naughty. So we've had to try to show him the difference between, you know, sarcasm, what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. And I can think of a really funny, actually, example of this. I was on the phone not too long ago with somebody, and we were gossiping about the situation that my girlfriend was in. And I literally shrieked on the phone and I said, "Shut up, he did not." And Drayson heard me say "shut up," and he then proceeded to tell me not to say that the such bad words, and that that I was being naughty. So that's always entertaining when I have to try to explain, like, no, I didn't mean like "shut up." I meant like "shut up," like, you know, my tone of voice. So it was definitely interesting to try to explain that to him. Another example is I was driving down the freeway with him one day, and a car cut me off, and I'm such a good mom that I forgot I had my kid in the car, and my filter came off, and I dropped some very colorful verbiage, may or may not have involved the F word. But anyway, somebody cut me off, and I dropped an F bomb and had slammed on my brakes, and Drayson then told me not to say that word. And I said, "I'm sorry, mommy just got frustrated. This car cut me off and I got frustrated. I'm sorry, you're right, I shouldn't have said it." He got almost angry with me. Then I was trying to talk to him after that. He got super upset with me. And I finally said, "Why are you so mad at me?" And he said, "Because you're being naughty, mom." And I said, I said, "I'm so sorry. It was an accident. It was a mistake. I did not mean to say it. I should not have said it." And he said, "Yeah, you're being naughty because you said the F word." So anyway, it's pretty funny when that happens, but it also keeps me honest, I guess, and in check about my language and my verbiage, because I will fully admit that I can cuss like a sailor. So there you have it. D is very straightforward. He's upfront and a very literal thinker. And that's something that is hard for some people to understand about my son. I recently discovered that he likes slapstick or physical comedy, so when he sees a cartoon or a show with someone being clumsy or tripping over something, he actually thinks that it's really funny. He also thinks that certain sounds are funny, sounds that I normally don't think are funny, he intakes differently, and he thinks that he actually takes it in so much that he thinks it's so funny, he'll pause the show, rewind it back about 5 or 10 seconds, and then watch it again. And he'll watch it over and over and over. It's actually can get a little bit annoying because it's so repetitive, but in his mind, he enjoys it to the point where I've even had dreams about the show that he was watching because he'll just replay it over and over and over. And for those of you that have kiddos on the spectrum, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. But there's usually a certain sound or something happening within that scene, if it's slapstick or physical comedy, that he just thinks is absolutely hilarious. All of these have kind of surprised me, and it's helped me to think outside the box with Drayson in terms of trying to find ways to connect with him. So I try to see what it is that's making him laugh, or to see a different perspective that I might find funny too, or that I just never really thought of that way. To take that in and look at it in that aspect, it actually makes it quite funny. And it helps us to connect, which is really, really important. The biggest goal that I have with my son is to formulate that connection with him so that I understand him better. Some true facts, actually, some research that I pulled about people with autism and a sense of humor. Here's some facts. People with autism are less likely to engage in laughter purely for the sake of social interaction. That is 100% true for Drayson. People with autism may display some behaviors, such as random or nervous laughter, which can cause interpersonal challenges. I have absolutely seen that with my son, Drayson, as well. When he gets very nervous or is riddled with some sort of anxiety, he'll almost have like this nervous laughter, or verbally he'll start stemming more that almost sounds like a laugh, but it's not. And that's just his coping mechanism. Research shows that children with autism are more likely to exhibit solitary laughter, which again is Drayson. It just means that they laugh when alone in response to stimuli, that they do not typically evoke laughter in others. And so sometimes he'll just randomly start laughing. People are usually like, "What is he giggling about?" Like, your guess is as good as mine. Rarely, too, will they laugh in response to others' laughter unless attempting to echo the sound. Drayson, if I'm with a group of friends or if we're entertaining and we're laughing too loud, he'll actually tell us it's too loud. So for him, the sensory of us laughing loudly is too much for him. So it actually is harder sometimes with that, because I don't want to inhibit people from laughing, but I have to almost laugh a little bit more quietly because the sound is a lot for his sensory input. Also, research shows that they'll rarely attempt to intentionally make others laugh. And I have witnessed this myself also with Drayson. It's very rare, but he does try to make us laugh. It definitely has to be something that he's comfortable with and on his own terms. So we have seen him do that sporadically with us, but it's not very consistent. So to just try to randomly make each other laugh, it's not something that's usually in our daily lives. It has to just kind of happen naturally, and we have to embrace that moment when it actually happens. There are different types of humor, sarcasm, dry, satire, and even slapstick forms of humor. So give it some thought. Which one do you like, and which one does your kiddo like? So see how you can take those different forms of humor and incorporate it into more laughter, because laughter in general is so healthy for all of us, right? There's actually a lot of science behind the importance of laughter. And I actually wrote down some bullet points here of why the importance of laughter is needed in our lives. One is it improves social skills, and that is a big problem, right? Especially for kids on the spectrum, social skills are difficult. Laughter can serve as a bridge to social connection and communication for individuals with autism. Whether we realize it or not, it does help them to formulate a connection with you. It can facilitate bonding with others, promoting a sense of belonging and acceptance, and it can also act as a nonverbal form of communication, conveying emotions and building connections between individuals. So Drayson can identify when I'm happy, sometimes that involves laughter. And so for him to identify that maybe I feel blissful or happy, those types of things, it helps him to identify my emotions and vice versa. It can also reduce stress for everyone in the household. Laughter produces what we call the feel-good hormones. I won't get into the nitty-gritty about which hormones, but it does help invoke those feel-good hormones in our bodies. And that's really important to help reduce stress in our daily lives. It can also improve emotional well-being. It allows individuals with autism to express and regulate their emotions. It can serve as an outlet for stress, anxiety, and other overwhelming feelings. And through laughter, individuals with autism can experience a sense of relief and also a release, which really, when you think about it from a human component standpoint, we all function that way. It's good for us to all have laughter in our lives. It can also help encourage cognitive growth, and there has been some significant research that laughter stimulates cognitive functions and can enhance learning experiences for individuals with autism. When we think about therapies, and those types of things that we're trying to implement on a daily basis, so like Drayson has speech and he has OT and he has ABA therapy, he has all these therapies. So when we can invoke laughter with that, it also makes it easier for them to learn. It helps to relax them, it helps to calm them, and it can increase their awareness and increase that cognitive function. So it's really important to find ways to maybe invoke some laughter with your kiddo. Incorporating laughter into educational and therapeutic settings can create a positive and engaging learning environment, just as I said a minute ago. And so there's lots of benefits just for incorporating laughter on a daily basis, not just because of autism, just in general. So keep that in mind, just as a family, how can you incorporate different forms of laughter as a family component to strengthen your social skills, lower the stress level in the home, and improve emotional well-being overall as a family. Here are some quick tips for incorporating humor. The first and foremost, just to experiment with positive and age-appropriate jokes. Right? Drayson's still learning how to do a knock-knock joke, but we're working on that. Experimenting with those types of humor, very basic entry-level type things, something as simple as a joke will make a really big difference for you and your kiddo. Use visual tools to show what is considered funny, such as cartoons and comic books. Show what is appropriate and what is not appropriate. Expose them to jokes that align with their interests to motivate them. So Drayson loves videos of funny animals, like animals doing almost like a blooper reel. So animals being goofy or tripping, like we saw one video of this horse the other day that could not stop carrying around the water bucket. And he just thought that was hysterical. So find ways to invoke their interests. So Drayson loves animals. So it was easy for us to translate that for him. If they like, maybe things outdoorsy, that's another possibility too. He also likes things with trains. So if we can somehow incorporate a little humor about trains, we can kind of show him how he can incorporate those jokes and improve the social skills and him trying to formulate that connection with people. Find jokes that are relevant to their age group. Like I said, age-appropriate jokes are going to be super important. Obviously, we don't want to start telling inappropriate jokes to our kid just to make them laugh. We might want to try to find ways that it relates to current pop culture references if your child is into that. Drayson is not. He is not that kiddo that will jump on those pop culture trends, but if your kiddo is, that is a great way to try to find jokes within that realm. Start with, like I said, simple one-liner jokes and gradually increase to the complexity of the jokes. Like we started off with knock-knock jokes. And you might need to have some prerequisite skills, such as taking turns in play before you do something like a knock-knock joke. So, for example, we really had to work with Drayson on understanding the process of a knock-knock joke. And taking turns was one of them. So we started with something simple like a board game where we would have to take turns back and forth with him. Once he got used to taking turns, now we could then apply a knock-knock joke because he's realizing that it's reciprocal. So if I say knock-knock, he knows to say who's there. Then I say, you know, I can't think of a knock-knock joke off the top of my head. But basically what I'm trying to say is you need to invoke that prerequisite skill of taking turns first. And I'm surprised I can't think of any of my knock-knock jokes. I usually have a slew of them in the vault to go through with Drayson. But make sure that they have some of these skills in place before teaching them more complex jokes. And if you need to, work with your care team for that. If you want them to learn how to start taking turns or basic fundamental skills, talk to your care team about that because they can help put some of those steps in place for you. Create a visual schedule to lay out the specific steps of telling a joke. This is something that we're working on actually within a social story for Drayson right now. Making eye contact, saying the first line of a joke, waiting for the other person to respond, and even saying the punchline. All of those things need to be broken down into steps. So what comes easy to you and I in terms of telling a joke, something as fluid as that, we actually have to break down in steps for Drayson. So think about that when you're trying to apply these methods with your kiddo. It's also important to teach them to expect and accept that different people may respond differently to their jokes. So have them to understand that the response also might not always be the same. For instance, this has even happened with Drayson. He'll just shut down if you try to tell him a joke. So what do you call a blank type of joke? He'll just say, I don't know. And that kind of deflates or defeats the purpose of the joke. So be ready, too, for those types of responses when you're working with your kiddo. A lot of times they'll just say, what? Or I don't know. But they won't necessarily respond. So giving them those steps and those tools on how to respond when people are telling a joke also is very helpful. Lay out very explicit rules of joke telling, such as appropriate times to tell jokes, right? So not maybe during recess, but not during class time. So you want to give them parameters of when it's appropriate to tell a joke and when to stop. So, for example, it may not be very appropriate for them to tell jokes nonstop for 10 minutes. Okay, so giving them an idea of when to stop, maybe telling maybe a couple, you know, two or three jokes at most. But otherwise, if you don't set that parameter in place, they don't understand why all of a sudden it's becoming an annoyance, maybe potentially to somebody else. And not to repeat the same jokes to the same person. That's another one. And that's a really big deal for us because Drayson's very repetitive in his behavior, and that is normal. But at the same time, to tell a joke over and over and over, it's like, okay, you know, it's like watching the Disney cartoon one too many times. Like you feel like you're going to just go psychotic because you keep hearing the same joke over and over. Tip number two, teach them how to respond to jokes. Teach them in various ways to respond to jokes from older children and adults. It includes laughing, smiling, or even saying that's funny or that's a good joke. It's interesting because Drayson won't always laugh at a joke, but he will say that's a good joke. And that'll be the end of it. So if we can get him to respond in some manner that way, then we know that we're at least still on the right track with him. It's also important to teach them different types of laughs that vary in intensity, to identify different types of laughs in volume and duration. So what's the difference between a chuckle and a giggle and what we call belly laughing? You know, when something's really, really funny in our house, I'm like, oh, that made my belly laugh because it's that funny. So giving them more descriptors on the different types of laughter, too, will also be very helpful, depending on how funny maybe the jokes are. Like if they think the joke isn't that funny, maybe just a chuckle or a giggle. But if they think the joke is really funny, giving Drayson permission to really laugh hard is something that he needs to know that it's okay to do. and when it would be appropriate to do so. Teach them also how to reciprocate when others are telling jokes. For instance, what do you call a blank joke? They can respond with what, or for knock-knock jokes, how do they respond? So teach them how to also be on the receiving end of it, not them just executing the joke as well. And the third and final tip really is just to practice, you know, provide them with ample opportunities to practice telling jokes and responding to jokes at home and then even outside the home. So if you have extended friends or family that are also involved with your kiddo, let them know, hey, we're working on joke telling right now. He's probably going to tell you a couple jokes, you know, go along with it. Maybe letting the care team know that you're trying to help him develop their sense of humor. Let the care team know what's going on as well if you have in-home care going on. Add humor to daily activities and to help them recognize the fun in everyday life and develop their sense of humor. So make it fun. If there's funny little things that you think you can incorporate throughout the day, try to see if you can slip those in. And that will just invoke more practice between you and your kiddo. This concludes our episode for today. I hope you found some of these quick tips helpful and you're able to find some more laughter in your home. If you have questions, comments, or even a show topic that you would like to hear about, please feel free to send me an email at info@piecesformypuzzle.com. Feel free to like and follow us on Facebook and Instagram if you haven't already, and consider subscribing to our YouTube channel as well. If you like what you're hearing, please spread the word to others so we can help support the autism community. And feel free to give us a good rating on your preferred podcast platform of choice. Thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, keep working on your puzzle. And remember, you don't have to have it all solved in a day. Take care. That's a good way to put Arizona weather. Schizophrenic Arizona weather. Such a good name.
Especially this time of year.
I know. How's the weather in Arizona? Schizophrenic. Okay.
All right, we're still rolling, so take it away.
Oh, Mary. Great. Even better. Okay.
Oh, yeah. We got all kinds of...
Great. Yay!